Bible does not contradict itself. If you find something like that, then you better study it out and make sure you understand it. And so we're going to kind of discuss that a little bit today here on Genuine Faith. And I want you to also realize that what you believe affects your behavior. You realize that? I don't really have a good example of that just off the top of my head and give thought to that, but how you believe affects how you act. And so it's important that we understand and we believe God's Word and we have a proper interpretation of God's Word. I like this verse. I just put it in my notes here. Romans 13:14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Paul tells us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Put them to death. Now this phrase here, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, is a little odd, isn't it? But it wasn't odd to the Greek writers. It means to imbibe his principles, to imitate his example, to copy his spirit, and to become like him. Isn't that great? We're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to act like him. We're to act and have an attitude just like our Lord and Jesus Christ was. And remember, he came not to he came not to be ministered to, but to minister. That ought to be our attitude. And how can we minister to one another? Listen, life's tough, isn't it? As I said in Sunday school, I don't think life was meant to be easy for us here on the face of this earth. Trials, as we learned last Sunday night, are meant for our purpose and for our profit, to move us and to mature us. Listen, God wants us to become like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has to sometimes put us in that crucible, if you will, that melting pot, and turn up the flames and to get all the dross off the top. And then what's left is pure gold. God wants us to be like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to imbibe his character. How about this one? Matthew 4:19. "And he said unto them," who's that? Jesus. Okay? "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Tonight I'm going to be talking along those lines a little bit. We're going to actually go through one of the parable of the pound. And you know, there's another parable very similar, but they're different. That's the parable of the talent. Okay, so we're going to be talking about the parable of the pound tonight. And by the way, each and every one of us, the talent, they gave different talents. According to several ability, the pound, they were each given the exact same thing. That's important. We'll talk about that tonight. What is that? What could it mean? And so we'll talk about that this evening. But God wants us to follow his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, "If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men." How are you doing with that? I need work on that. You know, I kind of go up and down with that. But I need to be a witness. And tonight's message, I hope, will encourage us both to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, genuine faith. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. You don't need to turn there. I think many of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture. Maybe some of you are not. But just listen to this. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Can we work our way to heaven? We can't, can we? In fact, if we could, we would boast about it. I was thinking about this. Let's say, okay, well, I want to be a good Christian and I want to earn my way to heaven. So I go to the soup kitchen once a week and I help feed the poor. Matter of fact, I give $100 out of my pocket every week to buy some soup. And next guy say, "Well, you know what? I go twice a week and I give $200. Surely God's pleased. He's probably more pleased with that than what you do. And a third guy comes by and says, "Well, I go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 3 times a week. I give $300 a week out of my money to help feed the poor." Wouldn't that be the way it would be if we, according to that verse, if we could work our way to heaven, we'd go around boasting about it. But don't miss this. We are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad He's working on you? His workmanship. I thought of the song we sang Wednesday night. He's still working on me to make me what I really ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the sun, the stars and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But He's still working on me. Is He working on you? I hope He never stops working on you and me, because we need to become like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But He says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Don't miss that. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen, we should walk in good works. You know what? We should help the poor. We should give to the poor. Not to earn salvation. Because God became poor for us. He left heaven's glory so that He could help us. You know, we need to help other people. We need to be walking in good works. That means, you know, as we're going about our everyday life, as we walk, as we work, as we play, as whatever we do, we're to be practicing good works. Okay? And God commends that and commands that. By the way, who wrote Ephesians? Paul. Who inspired it? God. Okay, let's not forget that. John 5:24 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In my Bible, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, that's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear the word of God, believe, and are saved. It's that simple. But then in John 14:15, he says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. That doesn't mean just hide them. It means obey them. We are to obey the commands of God. God gives us some commandments. And we are to obey them. And that shows God, shows the Lord Jesus Christ we want. We love Him. We love Him. And want to do what He says. How about Titus 3:5? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Praise God for His grace. We're not saved by works of righteousness, which we've done, but because of His mercy. But let's not miss the rest of the verses there. Titus says this, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So we see here we're saved by grace unto good works. We are to maintain good works. It's important that we, as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, now we serve Him. We work for Him. We're His laborers. We're co-laborers with Jesus Christ. We plant, we water, but God giveth the increase. Okay? We work together with God. God wants to use us. He wants us to work for Him. Now, I want you to turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We get to this here. And I've heard not too long ago, I listened to a message of somebody who used to attend here. Long time ago. You don't know him, and I wouldn't share his name. But he preached from this passage and said, we're not saved by faith alone. We're saved by faith plus works. Now, is that what James is teaching? Let's take a look at this. It says in verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Who wrote that? James wrote it. Who inspired it? God inspired it. The letter to James, the letter of James is to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. They were Jewish people, right? You with me on that? James wrote to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad because of persecution. And he wanted to encourage them in their faith. We need to keep that in mind. James is a great book. Probably one of the earliest New Testament books written. We see in the book of James, we see the test of our faith. Oh, I'm glad God tests my faith. Because I want my faith to grow. Do you want your faith to grow? Don't we need more faith? In fact, God says, if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, oh, Lord, I thought I had at least that. You know, he rebuked the disciples a couple times. How is it you have no faith when you were on the boat and the storms were raging? And they were concerned, greatly concerned. And they woke Jesus and he said, how is it you have no faith? And a couple other times he said, oh, ye of little faith. And yet, faith is what pleases God, is it not? And so we need to be men and women of faith. And so God's going to test our faith. And he gives us a purpose of those tests. The source of temptation doesn't come from God. God doesn't tempt us with evil. He allows us to be tempted, or tested, I should say. We see the traits of faith. Faith obeys the word of God. By the way, if you have faith in God, your desire is to obey the word of God. If you have no desire to obey the word of God, then you ought to really question, am I really saved or not? Faith doesn't show partiality. Faith produces action. Faith regulates the tongue. Boy, we have trouble with that, don't we? And God shows us that. Oh man, our tongue is a very deadly thing, isn't it? That little old tongue in your mouth. Be careful. Remember as we look children? Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Boy. Yeah, the tongue is a very powerful little thing, isn't it? Can set on the whole course of nature on fire. Boy, aren't we reminded of that in this political time? All the stuff that's said, all the lies, the dishonesty, and so forth. With that, let me encourage you, vote this Tuesday, please. Pray and vote. Faith produces humility. We see the triumph of faith. Faith endures awaiting the return of Christ. You looking for that? I know he's going to return. Because God cannot lie. And Jesus said, as you've seen me go, you'll see me come. He's going to come back in the clouds. The dead in Christ. By the way, Mary Miller passed away this past week. And we did the funeral yesterday. Able to preach the gospel. Thank you for your prayers. Mary was 98 years old. Walter was 100. Boy, talk about a blessing. Is that a blessing or is that a curse? I don't know. But to live that long. Wow. But anyway, thank you for your prayers and appreciate that. So we are awaiting the return of Christ. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up with them. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a reunion that's going to be. All our loved ones. Oh, it's so important we tell them about Jesus Christ so that they too can be in heaven. Matter of fact, one of the other things, faith prays for others. Faith prays for others. Genuine faith, real faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Help me to preach today. Help me to say what you want me to say. Father, this is your word, not mine. Father, I have to constantly remind myself I don't come with enticing words of man's wisdom. But Father, I trust that I come in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Empty me of myself and fill me with your Spirit. Thank you for the power of your word. I pray you'd work in hearts and lives today. Father, I believe you directed me to preach this. And so, Father, I have faith that you'll use it for your honor and glory. We thank you and praise you, Father, for what you do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Genuine faith. How about genuine repentance? In 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death." You know, sometimes we're just sorry because we got caught. But godly sorrow, real genuine sorrow, worketh us to salvation. You know, it's a change of mind, if you will, a change of heart. In James chapter 2:14, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Many can say they have faith, but true, genuine faith produces action. We probably all know somebody, and I don't necessarily want you to think of somebody necessarily, but we know people who say they're believers, but there's absolutely no evidence in their life. There's no fruit. Do we not know people like that? When we see it on, you know, people on television and so forth, say they're believers. But there isn't any evidence of that. And I believe that's what James is warning about here. Let's think about Noah for a minute. In Hebrews 11:7, it says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." It wasn't Noah's works that saved him. He became righteous because of his faith. His faith in God, his faith in Jesus Christ. In Genesis 6, 8, and 9, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Noah spent time with God. Do you walk with God? I hope you do in his word. And his word is in you throughout the day. It says in verse 22, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." The Bible tells us Noah obeyed God. Now, you might say, well, obviously I think God must have talked directly to Noah and told him to build the ark. Well, that may be. But he said, well, God doesn't talk directly to me. I don't hear any audible voices. I never hear God tell me to do this or that. Well, we have a more sure word of prophecy today, don't we? The Bible says in Peter. And we would do well if we take heed to what was written in here, because this is written to you and to me. In fact, in Luke chapter 16, Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And the rich man said this, and he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto him from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rose from the dead." Listen, what God is saying here, if they won't hear the books of Moses, the books of the prophets, then they won't even hear, even if somebody rose from the dead. Listen, if you won't hear the Bible, then you aren't going to hear anybody. God is speaking to you and to me through His Word, and you need to take heed to it. And we need to hear God's Word. This is God speaking to us, and we need to obey it. We need to note that this book was written to the 12 tribes. We need to remember Judaism placed all the emphasis on what? The law and obeying the law. Works. Now these Jews got saved. The Jewish people got saved. And apparently they would even swing the pendulum. Isn't that how we often do it? We are so good at swinging the pendulum to one side. So here they go, hey, you know what? We're saved by grace. We don't have to do anything anymore. We can just sit back and relax. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. You know, when we have that kind of attitude, it gives us a view that turns liberty into license. And by the way, I've heard the story. I never heard anybody say this to me. But you tell them that, hey, listen, I'm saved and secure, and I can never lose my salvation. And somebody might, who thinks that they have to work for their salvation, or because they have to perform, they say, well, if I believed that, I would live any way I wanted to. Is that God's intention for us? Yeah, I'm saved. My sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But that doesn't give us a license to do whatever we want, does it? We are free from sin, but not free to sin. We can't just live any way we want. Thank God we're saved by grace through faith, but now we're to work for Him, serve Him. And so we need to remember that apparently they went to the other extreme, works of no works at all. Jude 1:4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, James is encouraging them in their faith. He's saying, you know what? If you have faith, then there ought to be some works to back it up. Verses 15 and 16, he gives us an example of that. Let's look at James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Said what? Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food. By the way, if the 12 tribes were scattered abroad, what does that mean? They had to leave home. They had to leave their jobs, probably. I mean, can you imagine if all of a sudden somebody came into Lancaster County, PA, and said they're going to kill all the Christians in Lancaster County, PA, and we had to scatter for our lives? What would you leave behind? Do you think you'd be well off? Maybe here in America we get by, but what about in some other countries? What if we had to flee to another country? We didn't have time to take anything with us. Would we maybe be poor and hurting? See, that's the situation we find here in James as he's writing to these Jewish people. They were scattered. And maybe they weren't even helping each other very much. And so he says in verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. See, he's just saying, hey, I'll pray for you. But you don't give them. Look at verse. Let's go on. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? Does it profit just to tell somebody, hey, be warmed and filled? But you don't give them anything. What good is that for them? It's not good. And so, we need to be reminded that the suffering Christians had real needs. And we come to verse 17, it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith should have some evidence to back it up. Okay, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. Again, James is encouraging them in their faith. Hey, you have faith in God now. Show it. And do good works. Just because you are not under the law anymore doesn't say, oh, hey, I can just go out and do whatever I want. I don't have to help people. I don't have to do this. Paul was encouraging him. Come on. Get with it. Paul emphasized we're not saved by works. but unto good works, and warned against dead works. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. James warns us about dead faith. He's warning anyone who says they have faith, but it's not genuine and real. You know, it could be somebody here today is fooling everybody, but you're not fooling God. Listen, I don't want anybody to doubt their salvation, because that happens enough, doesn't it? Probably everyone has doubted it, our salvation at some point in time. Especially, you know, we do wrong and we say, oh man, how could I be so wicked? I mustn't be saved. You know, we got to remember, we're not saved on our performance, we're saved on the promise of God. And if the Bible says, if we say we don't have any sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. We just have to realize, I am a sinner. God, I need your help. And I want to live for you. And no, I can't just live any way I want. If I could live any way I want, I would never sin again. Isn't that our attitude? If I could live the way I really want to live, then I wouldn't sin. I don't want to sin. I don't want to displease my God. I don't want to displease my Savior. I want the power of God on my life to be able to witness and to be able to help people. And so I don't want sin in my life to be putting cold water on the Spirit of God. I want God to work. I want God to use me. James warns us about dead faith. James, verse 18, James 2:18, yea, a man may say. James is answering their thought at this point. Thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. What's he saying? It means to demonstrate. The conclusion is that faith has to have some way of proving its existence so far as others, as being seen by another person. Listen, I can look at some people and I could be fooled. But what do we look at? We look at the outward appearance. We look at the outward workings of people. You know, we see some people, they struggle, and they struggle with this sin and that sin. And, you know, I'm dealing with somebody right now. I'm wondering, are they really, truly saved? They may not be. The way they're acting, the way they're responding to the Word of God and so forth. And so God has pressed upon me. Maybe that's what I need to do. I need to witness to them. I need to make sure they're saved. But there are other people, you know, I could tell that they love God. And they want to do right. And I thank God for that. See, man sees Abraham offer up his son and says, wow, what faith. Here's Abraham offers up Isaac, believing that God would raise him from the dead. That's faith. Think if you and I were, God asked us to do that. Could we put our son on an altar and have a knife in our hand ready to slay him as a sacrifice? I don't think I could do that without the grace of God. But Abraham had that kind of faith. We hear of Noah building an ark in the middle of nowhere, on dry ground, and many years at the ridicule of many people. Ha ha, Noah, you nut. Can you imagine the ridicule he endured for that time as he's building that ark? It's going to rain? It's going to flood? You kidding me, Noah? How in the world? By the way, there were seas at that time, and there was water, but the Bible says that out of the midst of the ground, the mist would come up and water things. It never rained before. And God told Noah, it's gonna rain, it's going to flood, and you need to build an ark. And you need to take two of each animal in there. We look at that and say, wow, Noah, what faith he had to obey God in that situation. Therefore, we conclude a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, Romans 3:23. But as I was talking about, we look on the outward. It says in 1 Samuel 16, 7, the last part of the verse, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." You know what? You and I cannot tell for sure who's really saved and who isn't. But when we see somebody who has faith in God and we see their actions, we say, praise God, they're a Christian. And then we see those who show no fruit and no works, and we wonder, are they really truly saved? And you know what? My encouragement this morning through this message is just this, is we need to work for the Lord. Listen, Hebrews 10 and verse 24 says, we're to provoke one another unto love and to good works. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, our country is in a mess, is it not? And why is that? There's always been wicked people. I really believe the responsibility falls upon us as Christians. We mentioned this before, but God says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Listen, that's for you and for me. We're His people. We're His children. We need to turn from our wicked ways and start doing right, make a difference in this world. We are the salt and light, and we need to make a difference. And so my encouragement is just that, as found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. We're to provoke one another unto love and to good works. And all I'm trying to do this morning is to provoke you to love each other and do good works. Just a couple more things and then I'm done. Work and grace cannot be mixed as a means of salvation. Listen to this. Romans 11, 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Listen, if you're saved by grace, then it can't be of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Sounds strange, but listen, if you're going to work your way to heaven, then it can't be by grace. If you're going to be saved by grace, then it can't be by works. It's that simple. Otherwise, work is no more work. Grace is no more grace. Do you got it? You can't mix the two. We're saved by faith unto good works. Works do not save, Ephesians 2:8. Titus 3:5. We are created unto good works, Ephesians 2:10. We read that. Work can be a fruit of repentance. Matthew 3:8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Good works are commended. Not commanded there, as I said commended, they are commanded as well. But 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, Paul says this. He said, "I'm remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Listen, he was commending them. Praise God for your good works. I commend you for that. I commend you, folks, for your good works. It pleases God. God wants us to serve Him. We're here to serve, not just to sit and soak, not just to warm the pew. We're all to be working for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to be zealous of good works. Zealous. Work. I got to go to work. Sometimes we don't enjoy our jobs that much. But you know, we ought to be zealous of working for the Lord. And we'll get to why. But it says in Titus 2:14, "Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." We are to provoke one another to love and good works. Hebrews 10:24. It's completely inconsistent to say we have faith then refuse to do good works. And this is what James is warning them about. Verse 26. Let's look at James 2:26. It says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." The body without the spirit is dead. Faith without works is dead also. True, genuine faith will produce action in your life. You'll serve the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be consistent necessarily. I'm not saying you're going to get discouraged. I'm not saying you're going to sometimes give up. But listen, if you're truly saved, you want to serve the Lord. If you have no desire to serve the Lord in any way, then guess what? You need to check your salvation and make sure you're truly a believer. Listen, he says, the devils believe and tremble. They know who God is. They believe in God. You know what? There is a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge, isn't there? And so we think of the heart as the seat of our emotions. It's the very center of our being. But deep down in my heart, I know God is real and I want to serve Him. I look at His creation and I'm amazed at all the wonderful things. And sometimes it almost fear comes over my life and think, wow, God, what an amazing God. God, help me to serve You with all of my heart, with all of my life. Philippians 2:12. Here's a verse that's taken out of context and misinterpreted many times. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. What's he saying? Okay, while I'm with you and I'm encouraging you, you're doing great. You're working, you're serving the Lord, but now I'm not with you. How you doing? Listen, we need to serve God even when the pastor's not around, even when our brothers and sisters are not around. God is always with me. And even in the absence of my brothers and sisters who are provoking me unto love and good works, I'm going to serve God wherever I am, whoever I'm with. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says this, "But now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." Paul is just encouraging him. Listen, I'm not with you. You did good while I was with you. I saw your faith. I saw your works. Now I'm not with you. But you know what? Keep working out that salvation. Keep working for the Lord, serving Him. 1 Corinthians 2:3. He said, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling." Listen, Paul knew what it was like to work for the Lord and tremble. Listen, you know the life and testimony of Paul, I hope. I mean, he was in perils all the time. Have you ever been afraid? You know, we're that way sometimes here in America. We're afraid to talk to people. I am too sometimes. I'm not the most boldest person in the world. I'm not one that's extremely verbal and can just go up and talk to anybody as some people are. But here's Paul. He said, "Pray for me that I'd open my mouth and speak as I ought to." Listen, Paul knew when he opened his mouth, he was in danger. He could have been killed. In fact, many times he had to escape for his life. And so, here he's telling the Philippians, hey, listen, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Listen, just keep living for the Lord. Yes, it's fearful. We live in a fearful day. And listen, maybe one day, just like our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ, we may live in that situation where if we own a Bible, we could be arrested and put into a labor camp just for simply having a copy of the Word of God. What are we going to do in a situation like that? Just throw them out? No, we need to work for the Lord. I'll finish with this. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" I love this, how Paul does this. "But one receiveth the prize. I'm glad not just one of us receives a prize. Every one of us will receive the prize. And Paul's saying, if you were to run in a race, run as if you were the only one to receive the prize. He says, so run that you may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or a reject. Listen, you and I need to so run. Here's why. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen, do you have real genuine faith? Serve the Lord with gladness. He will repay you. He will reward you. And He will use you. Remember the song that we heard just before? Little as much when God is in it. May we all look at ourselves as little. By the way, remember what Paul said? He must increase, I must decrease. We need to be little. God, I am nothing. Nothing at all, but empty me of myself and fill me with You, with Your Spirit, and use me for Your honor and glory. I want to love Him and serve Him all the days of my life. That ought to be our attitude. Listen, do you have real genuine faith this morning? You're not saved by works. You're saved by faith unto good works. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you.